states, to understand chapter 4, we need to remember what happened in chapter 3. There we are confronted with those who blatantly opposed Jesus in manifest unbelief. They conspire against him. They declare his work to be demonic. Their hearts are totally hardened against Jesus and his ministry to bring the kingdom of God. This is a necessary understanding as Jesus begins to teach the parables. Chapter 4:12 has been the subject of much discussion and misunderstanding. The verse reads, "They may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, and lest they should turn and be forgiven." This is a quote from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And it is quite important to understand what is being said here. In Isaiah, God spoke these words to him as he was calling him to be a prophet. And what God is telling Isaiah is, in spite of all his preaching and all his teaching, the people of Israel are going to reject his warning of judgment because of their hardness of heart. They will not perceive or understand the message. They will not repent, turn from their sin, and be forgiven. The fault lies not in Isaiah's preaching, nor the message, but in their hardness of heart. The divine visitation will come when Babylon destroys Judah because of the people's hardness of heart as God's judgment on them. So now Jesus is saying that in the New Testament age, the people are just like they were in Isaiah's day. That is why he quotes from Isaiah. In spite of the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is in their midst and is bringing them the Word of God, they do not perceive and they do not understand. And they do not believe in him because of their hardness of heart. The Word will be taught in parables, but because of their own hardness of heart, they will not understand Jesus as anything but an enigma. What he says and does will make no sense to them. They will thus miss the kingdom of God. What Jesus says in parables to those who reject and oppose him, they do not understand because of their hardness of heart. The citation of Isaiah 6 does not mean that those whose hearts are hard are denied the possibility of faith. But it indicates that they are excluded from the opportunity of being further instructed in the secrets of the kingdom of God as long as their hardness of heart continues. Now, this may sound harsh, but it's true. Jesus speaks in parables so that the opposition that has rejected him and opposes him, plots to kill him, see him only as a problem. Their unbelief will make it impossible for them to understand what Jesus says and does. Their hearts remained hardened. We can relate this to Pharaoh. Remember back in the Old Testament. We can relate it to him. How many miracles and signs did Pharaoh see? Only they did nothing to convert his heart. They hardened it. And it says God hardened his heart. So Pharaoh would not listen. His hard, unbelieving heart would not. It remained hardened. The very word and miracles of God did not change his heart, but wound up hardening his heart. The day of judgment came. So in Isaiah's day, God sent Isaiah to call the people to repentance. They would not listen. Judgment came on their hardened hearts, their unbelief, when Babylon destroyed them. So Jesus comes and proclaims the kingdom of God. And their hearts are hardened. They will not repent. Jesus speaks in parables and they remain in the darkness of their unbelief. The very words, including parables and miracles, that should have changed their hearts, hardened their hearts. Judgment will come when Jesus comes again. Therefore, the parables had a twofold effect. First, for those who believe, they taught the kingdom of God. To those who don't, the kingdom remained veiled, and they had no understanding. When someone whose heart is hard hears a parable, they do not understand because of their hardness. Thus, the parable serves as something that gives them, frankly, more of the same of what they seem to want. They are confirmed in their hardness like Pharaoh and the people of the time of Isaiah, and judgment came. We have to realize there are people in this world that are so hardened they will never come to Christ. Back to chapter 3 and the context. Chapter 4 is Jesus' response to their rejection and opposition. Do not think that the hardening is the first step here. Hardening is what occurs as a persistent rejection of God and His Son. The key word is persistent. The call in Mark is for all to repent and believe. To reject the personal presence of God, Jesus Christ, indeed is to call His words demonic, as they did, means rejection. Okay? This passage, okay, is not to teach us what God is thinking, what He's doing behind the scenes, or what He's really up to. This passage tells us on the basic level what happens to those who persistently reject Jesus Christ. They are hardened and will remain so except for the grace of God. In many ways, this is beyond us. Sometimes what God does not fit neatly into our little boxes. The dangers, however, are really there. Persistent rejection of Jesus Christ is dangerous eternally. God does harden, as we have seen. He does so only after a person has totally and completely and persistently rejected Him over and over. God has two sides, law and gospel. We don't like hearing about the law side. Thank God for God's grace. All right. There you are. You asked for it, you got it, Toyota. Okay? But that's what's going on here. That's what's going on here. All right, questions?
The multitude of people listening to Jesus preaching from the boat, are we to assume that out of this multitude of people, there are all four types of people, the ones with hardened heart, the ones that have weak faith, the ones who are distracted by the worldly things, and the good soil with the good heart?
Yes.
It's a mixture.
Yeah, he told the parable of the sower, and there were people standing in front of him in every one of those categories. But notice that none of those categories are persistent rejection. Okay? None of those four categories are persistent rejection. They were in a class by themselves. Okay? They were in a class by themselves. Okay? And he doesn't even deal with them. Okay? They're not receiving the word at all. They won't receive the word from him. He's the problem. They've already rejected him to the point, no matter what he says, doesn't matter. Okay? No matter what he says. Next. Yes, Yvonne.
Verse 25. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever doesn't have, even what he has will be taken from him. Would you expound on that?
Yes.
The adjective goes with that. Materialistic, physical, emotional.
Probably the best is spiritual. When you have much spiritually, you will be blessed. When you have little, it's not that you're not blessed, it's just you don't know it. So let's use this church as an example. This is a large church with huge resources, lots of people power, lots of money, and we are capable of doing great things. If we never do that, God will take these great things away from us. That's what it's saying. If we don't use His gifts and squander His gifts, we may lose the gifts. And so it's a call, it's a challenge to the people of God to do great things, because we have a great God and He's given us great gifts. You say that's works. Yes, because it follows faith. Okay? Because it follows faith. So we are challenged by God to do great things with the great things He has given us. All right, Jay?
Well, you've kind of got me afraid now.
Good. If you heard that and weren't afraid, there's something wrong.
And if they persistently reject God, you said that's dangerous. And I was wondering then, is it better to just, rather than keep talking to them about Jesus so much, to just like pray for them so they don't keep rejecting and it gets dangerous, or what to do?
It is certainly a passage that warns us about the danger. You know, and I know people that we've tried to talk to, and it's gotten to the point that anything we say, they just kind of say, don't go there. I want to hear it. If we're going to remain friends, you got to leave that alone. At that point, all you can do is pray for them. At that point, all you can do is pray for them. The point is, God is extremely patient, but it runs out. It's not forever. It runs out. We certainly don't want to do anything to make things worse. So at times it may come to a point that we can't say any more. Maybe somebody else. Maybe God will raise up somebody else that can. But we can't. And then all we can do is pray. All we can do is pray.
We talked Monday about the fact that the parables just seem to be another way of keeping secrecy, kind of this whole theme of secrecy in Mark. How much can we look forward to this occurring over the next few chapters?
Lots. This is a theme in Mark, and we'll see him repeatedly tell people, don't tell what's occurred. And they always do. And part of the fear is that Jesus didn't want anything to stand in the way of his mission to save us, of literally going to the cross. And probably the thing that could stand in the way the most is if lots of people came to see him as a king that should be exalted. So that's part of this. And so he is in his humility and his state of humiliation is trying to be low-key, if you will. And it's almost, that's almost ludicrous. How can a guy that can heal disease and provide bread and remain anonymous? It's not going to happen. But that's the tension here. He's trying to keep it under wraps enough so he can fulfill his mission. And I think Pastor Thomas talked about that last week. All right.
Okay, I'm going to drag us back to 12. Just the last part. Otherwise, they won't turn and be forgiven. Wouldn't that be a good thing?
Oh, it would be a good thing. But what it's saying is they won't do it.
So don't waste your time.
Don't cast pearls before swine.
And the other thing that too, I never really thought about when I was starting to read this until this study was that this is really all out warfare.
It is all out war. Yes. Yes. And the thing we got to remember, he was speaking to thousands of people. But these words in verse 12 are for the stupid Pharisees over there, who are in total opposition to him, not for the whole crowd. He's not lumping everybody together. There's the people like he gave the examples in the parable of Zoe. They're here. But it's to this bunch that's opposing. And he's trying to warn them. That's why he warned them against the sin of the Holy Spirit. This persistent rejection of Christ is the only unforgivable sin. And so what he's saying is, when I tell these parables, those that have this persistent hardness of heart are not going to figure it out. And that's part of the plan of God, that they don't figure it out, and they figure the only way to deal with him is to get rid of him, which is to nail him to a cross so he dies, which is exactly what God wants. They're stupid pawns. They're being used and they don't even know it in their hardness of heart. Just like Pharaoh was a stupid pawn. How many times you got to get hit in the head with a two before you wise up? How many plagues were there? 10. But God used Pharaoh's hardness of heart and stubbornness to save the children of Israel. So we're no match for the Almighty. Okay? No match. And on that, we'll close. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.